We have a long way to go. I'm teasing. But we are in Genesis, though. Well, we had a good day Sunday with you folks. It was a blessing to our family. Thank you very much for everything, the fellowship, the food, the basket, the love gift. It just was a serious blessing to us. So thank you. I mentioned Sunday that I have a series on worship. This is another one of those in Genesis chapter 22. And this happens to be the first mention of the word worship in the Bible. So if you understand hermeneutics, which is a big fancy word on how to study the Bible, one of the principles is called first mention. And when you have the first mention, it kind of sets the tone for that particular word or thought for the entire scripture. So tonight, God helping us, we're going to take a look at that. And the one that's going to illustrate this for us is Abram, or Abraham's faith and his worship. Because, folks, it truly is all about him and for him. And I just want to say at the beginning of this, thank God for the Lamb of God that was our substitute. So if you can and able, let's stand and honor God's absolutely perfect word. You know, that means it has zero errors in it. It has zero contradictions. So yeah, but what about, well, that just means you don't understand it all yet. Because this is God's perfect word. Amen. All right, so here we are in Genesis chapter 22. Everybody ready? And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built there an altar, or built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him upon the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said today, this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Let's pray right there. Father, we ask that you bless the reading of your word. Help us tonight Should there be lost among us, I pray they get saved. Give them a clear understanding of the gospel. Convict their heart of the sin before you. Convince them of their need. And for the saints tonight, Lord, I pray that we'll leave here with grateful obedience. Well, I mean grateful worship that leads to grateful obedience. Help us now for your sake. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm assuming this one's mine. Is this not on? Am I not turned on? Okay, let me check here. It's off. Tell them we're busy. Now it is on. Well, that's horrible. Pastor doesn't, or a preacher doesn't have power. Now I think we're powered up. Well, tonight, as we get started, I do have a couple of questions to get us thinking. Do you need to get saved tonight? If so, press 3. No, I'm just kidding. Seriously. Well, you had to play it. Come on, it was happening. If you're here tonight and you've come empty, seeking, lost, tonight would be the best night ever to get saved. Amen. And if you're saved already, then the challenge will be for us is that we come worship our Savior out of a heart of gratefulness, out of thanksgiving. One brother I heard say, true worship precedes true service for the Lord. We established Sunday that we all serve whom we worship. Tonight, we're going to deal with the first mention. So let us take a look at this historic Old Testament account, an event that really happened, or where it all begins, at least being recorded about worship in the Word of God. So number one tonight is God puts Abraham to the test. And if we were to read in our text here in verse 2, in chapter 22, and God said, take now thine son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. Wow. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. Folks, when you read in the scripture here that God did tempt Abraham, and then if you were to read over in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 13, don't say this is a contradiction. You just need to understand what's being talked about. Because Brother James in the book of James says, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So in the context of Genesis 22, the idea of being tempted means that it's a test. And this was a test of Abraham's faith. In the book of James, when it's talking about tempted, that's talking about a temptation to sin. There is a difference. In fact, we all go through trials and testings, yea, temptations. And are they not designed by the Lord to strengthen our faith? Amen. So this test of Abraham's faith, we could put it in a question. Does he believe God or not? Fair question. If Abraham believes God, then he's going to take God at his word. Because isn't that what faith is? Taking God at his word. And if you take God at his word, that always, always results in obedience to God's word. Right. Now, if he does not believe God, then he does not take God at his word, and that will result in him doing nothing. So faith is more than taking God at his word. There's an action involved. It's called obedience. Okay? We're just laying some foundations. Stay with me here. For example, like Noah. The Bible says that by faith, Noah moved with fear, and he built an ark. If Noah said, oh yeah, I have faith, and sat on the rock, and it's like, that ain't going to happen. That's not faith, and none of us would be here to talk about it. Good job, Noah. Amen. And in fact, in Genesis chapter 22, verse 2, when God said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. When it says your only son, technically Abraham at this point in time already had Ishmael as another son. So when Isaac is called the only son, it's a qualifier. In other words, he's the only son of promise. That's huge. That's serious Bible doctrine right there. So when Abraham was asked to offer the promised seed, the promised son, that heightened this test by a bazillion 318. Maybe 19 if you're counting. But I'm just saying, hey, that put this on a whole nother plane. So in other words, this would take complete faith. This would not be the, well, I kind of think maybe God would do something. No, that wouldn't fly here. Boy, I really hope this works out. No, that wouldn't fly here. This is going to take absolute faith. Absolute faith, taking God at his word, that God will do exactly what he says he'll do every time. The Bible has summarized that in two words for us, well, three words for us. Here it is. God is faithful. Amen. You and I can trust him because God is faithful. When I looked that up, it actually has about three different meanings to it, and one of them is God is certain. Oh, yeah. You can depend on him. He's there. God is trustworthy. You can trust him. And when I read this one, I about fell off my chair with excitement because this is a good one. You ready? God is worthy to be believed. Wow. Think about that. You know why he's worthy to be believed? Because he'll always do exactly what he says he'll do every time. Woo! Amen. I'd make a Baptist shout. Well, Abraham proved his faith by immediate obedience. So secondly, Abraham responded in complete obedience. Verse next, 3 in case you lost your place. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled the ass and took his two young men with him and Isaac his son and clay the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. He got up early in the morning. He got at the will of God. Folks, if you know something is the will of God in your life, I encourage you to get at it. Delay will only result in disobedience. Obedience, you remember, is do it now, do it right, do it happy. Amen, kids. You like that one? Obedience is do it now, not when you get good ready, do it. Do it right. That means you don't just stuff it under your bed and hope nobody looks. Do it happily means you do it without an attitude. Well, amen, since you've listened real well, let's do this once more. Ready? Obedience is do it now, do it right, do it. Why aren't the teenagers saying anything? Do I need to slow this down for you? I'm teasing you. Hey, to have this kind of obedience, Abraham must have died to himself. You know, the Bible says in Luke 9:23 something about that. He said, and Jesus said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. We were here a little early, and as they begin the slideshow, with all the announcements and everything, your logo about he must increase, I must decrease. Before the screen came down, I thought it was very interesting. I don't know if y'all planned it this way or not, but I thought it was pretty cool that the dot for the I was right in the middle of the cross, and the I was on the cross. I thought, boy, right there it is. Dying to ourself. So I don't know if y'all planned it like that or not, but that's pretty cool. That's what he had to do. Because, see, to deny yourself means that you have to give up your desires. You got to die to your wants, your plans, your goals. And when he asked for Isaac back, how long did he wait for him? Like 100 years. And now that he's here and old enough to do things with, don't you think he had some plans? He wanted to hang out with his son? Don't you think that it was... Wasn't on his bucket list that he's going to offer him on a mountain one day? I mean, he was enjoying the fulfilled promise of God. So I believe that when God asked Abraham that he must have died to himself instantly, and thus in his mind and his heart, Isaac died that day, and 3 days later, Abraham and Isaac arrived at the mountain where he would be sacrificed, but they both came down alive. What a type of Christ. See, Christ was dead for 3 days and he arose. I wonder if Abraham slept much that night. Do you think it's on his mind when he went to bed? I'd almost be dreading tomorrow. There's Sarah. Night, sweetie. Night, sweetheart. What are you doing tomorrow? Nothing. No, really, what are you doing? Well, Isaac and I, we're going to take a trip. Oh, okay, where are you going? Some mountain God will show us. Serious, what are you going to be doing? I don't know. Night, sweetheart. I don't know. You get the point here? Well, morning came early, and they loaded up and left, and now we see Abraham's astonishing faith in verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. He must have been from the south because he's going yonder. But he said, I and the lad, we're going yonder. While we're there, we're going to worship, then we're going to come again. If you remember right, worship, from the definition we established Sunday, is one willfully humbling themselves by physically bowing, kneeling, or prostrating themselves on the ground in adoration of God. I am the lad, we're going to go yonder And we're going to worship. We're going to get on our faces and we're going to adore God. And we're going to come back. Y'all wait here. Now, folks, I showed some serious faith. That wasn't some kind of wishful thinking. It wasn't just hoping, well, I'm hoping somehow it works out. No. And nor was he having blind faith as if it was a shot in the dark. Oh, no. Because remember our definition. Our definition of faith is an action that takes God at his word. So in other words, Abraham had some promises from God. You don't have to turn there. You can if you want and keep up. Wonderful. But it's in Genesis 13, 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, this is before he had children. And this is before he's Abraham. The Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place which thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, I will give it to thee and to thy seed forever. And I will make thee, thy seed as the dust of the earth. So that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Time out. Only one problem. Abraham doesn't have any seed at this point when he gets this promise. In chapter 15, God gives him what we know as the Abrahamic covenant, but he reiterates this promise and expands it a little bit in chapter 15, verse 1. And after these things, the word of the Lord came from Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born of my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Amen. And at that point, they had what was called a blood covenant. And a blood covenant, back in their culture at this time, was when they took a different kinds of animals, and they would cut them in half. Not in a half this way, where there's two, but down the middle. So you have like a left half and a right half. And they would lay these animals end to nose, so ever how long this little walkway was between these animals, the blood had been shed, they're there, and what they did, and their custom back then for a blood covenant, was whoever you're making this covenant with, you two would walk through this aisle of bloody animals slain, realizing that if either of you broke your covenant, that's what would happen to you. So this is way more weighty than, oh, I promise. Or some of the kids, pinky swear. No, we're way above that kind of stuff. This is like the epitome of a covenant. It's not a contract. Contracts can be broken. This covenant cannot. Then God put Abraham in a semi-sleep state. He is conscious enough to realize what was going on, but he was out of it too much to participate. And then God himself walked between these animals. And what that signified was that I just made a covenant with you, Abraham, not based on you, what you do or what you don't do. It's all on me, God, who is faithful. He's worthy to be believed because he always does exactly what he says. And folks, if there's anybody here doubting your salvation, These are the seeds in the foundation of the doctrines of soteriology. Whoo, big word. The doctrine of salvation. Your salvation isn't contingent upon you. It's contingent upon God. He said in Peter, who are kept by the power of God. You can't keep yourself saved. God does. If it's up to us, we'd mess it up. I couldn't save myself anyway, and neither can you. But God did the saving. And I can't do something to mess it up because it's not on me. God does the keeping. So if you're here tonight and you're saved, hallelujah, you're saved forevermore. Amen. This is just good Bible doctrine right here, isn't it? Amen. What a comfort. Well, praise the Lord. So God gave Abraham a promise in chapter 13 and expands that promise and confirms it with the blood covenant in chapter 15. So Abraham knows this is going to happen, period. Because God said, I'm going to give this land unto thy seed. Now how can he give that land unto the seed if the seed's dead? Now I give you this much. I don't believe Abraham understood all the details of how this was going to work out, because it's just beyond how we would naturally think. But he had faith that somehow, he didn't know how, but somehow, I and the lad, we're going yonder, we're going to worship, we're going to get on our faces before our Maker, and we're going to adore him. And I and the lad, we will come again. Now, how's all that going to work? I don't know. But I have a promise from God's word. We're going in faith. Amen? So his faith was based on God's word. In fact, in the book of the Hall of Faith there in Hebrews 11, verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into another place, which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Amen. Verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she had judged him faithful who had promised. Because God is faithful, and we can trust him. And if we're taking him at his word, then that's going to respond in us in real-time obedience. Everybody with me? Okay, so here we go. Abraham, I think this part's funny, he lets Isaac carry the wood. Now, I get that. Look in verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid upon Isaac his son. Told you, right there it is. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? He had been down this road before. Pretty observant. We're missing something, Dad. Okay? Yeah. Well, amen. And then to think that he carried the wood. Well, let's just suppose Josh and I was going to go camping, and we're going to take some firewood with us up a mountain. Guess who's carrying the firewood? Exactly, Joshua. So I get that as a dad. That's how it works. Amen. But what a type, though, because God the Father laid the wood of the cross on Jesus Christ as he went up Mount Calvary. The typology here is a beautiful picture of our salvation. You can't escape that. I mean, it's here. Isaiah 53:5, but he, Christ, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes, we are healed. And in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So I'm taking from their conversation between Isaac and Abraham that they'd obviously done this before, and he noticed something was missing. And, hey, Dad, I see the wood. Hey, Dad, I'm carrying the wood, and I see you have the knife and the fire, but where's the lamb? Whether Abraham realized it or not, he prophesied one of the most beautiful prophecies in the Word of God when he prophesied the Lamb of God. Look in verse 8. I have mine underlined. You should underline yours too. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. That is powerful. We have testimony in the New Testament. Brother John in 1:29 says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming to him saying, and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Verse 36, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God, the King of glory, Jesus Christ, left the splendors of heaven, was manifest in the flesh in the womb of a virgin named Mary, was born in a little town called Bethlehem, and of all places in a stinking feeding trough. And Jesus Christ lived an absolutely perfect life without sin. And when he died on the cross, he died on the cross for your sin and for your sin and for my sin. Yea, the sins of the world. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And he died in our place, so we didn't have to, instead of us. In fact, that's the title, instead of me, the Lamb. Yeah, amen. What a powerful truth. And when he shed that blood, according to the book of Hebrews, he picked up that blood, that literal blood, and he ascended into the heaven, into the tabernacle not made with hands, and he himself became our propitiation, yea, mercy seat. And there it was, he offered that pure, holy blood of his as a satisfactory sacrifice to meet the holy demands of God. And now God can offer you mercy, and God can offer you grace. Don't send it away. If you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sin and call on him by faith and be born again. Praise the Lamb of God. Amen. Amen. Whoo, that'll get you going. Hallelujah. Well, we're about to come to the moment of truth. You can talk all you want, but until you put the knife in your hand, it's just talk. Jason, could I use you for a second, please? Does he obey well? I need him to obey well. I don't want him to get hurt. This is Isaac. I'm Abraham. We're on a journey. You got the wood. Thank you. He's learning. Come here, Isaac. I want to show you something. Up there's Mount Moriah. See it? Mm-hmm. All right. So we got to go up there. I'm wondering, being a dad, maybe he went up there with his arm around his boy, knowing it's going to work out, but maybe didn't know how. So I'm wondering if maybe he's a little quiet on this journey, the bazillion thoughts, the mixed emotion. You with me? All right, let's go up the mountain. So they go up the mountain. When they get up here, they take the wood and lay it in order. Lay it in order. This is the wood sacrifice. This is called pretend. Okay. So then he bound Isaac. Put your hands out. Okay. He laid him on the altar. Boy, everybody's watching now. Don't go anywhere. It's all talk till you put your hand on a knife. Chop, chop. in their custom, they had about an 18-inch blade that was curved like this. And in Hebrews, when it says that we're made bare, it was talking about that sacrifice. Because they would take their free hand, put it on their chin, and make bare the neck of a lamb. They would cut its neck, feel that, to shed its blood. I wonder what was in Abraham's heart when he said to his son, just about to do it, "Abraham, Abraham." I'm thinking he probably dropped it. "Here I am. Lay not your hand on the lad. For now I know you love me." And I don't know, I'm not real big on trying to pump up some kind of emotion, but I'm thinking Abraham probably had a knot in his throat. Pretty hard to swallow about right there. As he looked at his son on the altar, and maybe as he began to untie his hand, what was that? Now, I know it says a ram, but the scripture's talking about the Lamb of God. Isn't he cute? You want to pet him? Sure. Be gentle. You want to pet him too? All right. It's all soft and fuzzy. You want to pet him? Sure you do. I don't have time for everyone to pet him. But here he is. He's going to die instead of my son. In the room of my son. In the place of my son. Get up, son. You're free. Don't leave. Just stand right here. And they bound it up. And I imagine with tears of joy, they offered the ram. Isn't it interesting in this type of event, the Holy Spirit chose to mention the word worship for the first time. So we could call this a second title, if you will, Grateful Worship. As we got on our knees before the altar, as this ram was burning, I'm thinking they were adoring God. I'm thinking Abraham probably didn't stay on his knees. I imagine he fell to his face with tears dripping off his face into the dirt as he said, "Thank you, God, for sparing my son. Thank you, God, for letting Scripture terms, the lamb die instead of my son." As I'm walking down the mountain, I'm thinking, probably had his arm around him. And I'm not going to do this because he's not my son. But I'm thinking he probably pulled his head over and gave him a kiss right on top. And he's like, oh, Dad. Because there was a grateful daddy there. He went down the mountain. Thanks, Isaac. See, the Lamb of God died instead of you, in your place, in the room of you. And he rose again the third day, and in the book of Revelation, you thought I was joking, didn't you? The Lamb of God is seated at the right hand of the throne, making intercession for you. I know that probably 99.8% of all of you here are very familiar with this historical event. And I've known it for years. But I've enjoyed preaching it these last couple of months as a reminder. That's what he did for me. Instead of me. And if you're here tonight and you're lost, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, one of a kind, there's none like Jesus, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And those of us from the hands I've seen Sunday, similar to faces are here tonight. Some been saved 10, 20, 30, 40 years. It would be fitting for us tonight. This is just an animal, so don't. Just his toy. But it'd be fitting for us to come worship the Lamb of God. To say, thank you for saving me. When I got saved, I didn't deserve to get saved. That's called grace. I deserved to die and go to hell. I didn't, nor am I going to. That's called mercy. So because of these eternal truths we just expressed tonight, it's fitting for us to kneel before our Maker, yea, the Lamb of God, and say, thank you. What a Savior. And out of worship comes service. So out of my grateful worship, then, I should have grateful obedience. So if there's some things going on in our home that you know God doesn't really like it, it'd be worth getting rid of it. If you know there's some things that God's been wanting you to get at it, you know, his will for you, then it would behoove you to get on it. And grateful obedience. Out of heart of thankfulness. Amen? Well, let us worship him. I'll stand. Father, we're before you this evening. You are so worthy. Thank you for dying instead of me, in my place, in the room of my crime. Tonight we want to say thank you. Confessing maybe sin that's kind of pulled us away from our service.
that maybe has hindered our worship, that we might have revival here tonight at Lighthouse Baptist. That when we go home with a renewed love, gratefulness, a gratitude, a thankfulness for what you've done for us. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. My wife begins to play. There's already those here praying. There's room for you. Come on, church. Let's worship the Lord. Let's say thank you. Amen. Others are coming. There's room. If you need to use the front row there and use that as an altar, fine, use that. But he's worth it. Won't you come? Let's come worship the Lamb of God. Amen. Folks in the middle, if they're wanting out, let them out. Amen. There's still others coming. Church, let's take some time. Let's thank the Lord. Amen. Come on.